I didn't say anything about being recorded.
Can you hear me? Everyone hears me okay?
Okay, good.
It told us you're recording. Then we got a pop-up.
Okay. Well, we are recording. We've been talking about Hala. And I assume everybody knows everything about Hala. We're all familiar with it. And so there's no... So we have to look and see if there's anything else we can get out of it. And we've said before that we're looking at this, really the two parakim, the second and third parak of Hallel, starts with Bitei Yisrael and Mitzrayim. And we've talked about before that they really form one unit. If you look at how Hallel is divided up, it starts with Hallelujah, the first parak, Allah the Hashem ends with a Hallelujah. And there's this Hallelujah here, and there's no Hallelujah between the two parakim of Kufyadan, Kuftetvav. So if you want to bring a sitter out, you can do that. Or if you look over here, it starts with Bitei Yisrael and Mitzrayim, and it goes all the way through Lo Lo Lano Hashem, Shem Zecharoni Yavrech, and ends with a Hallelujah. That's all really one unit. If you look at the, say, the level codex, there's no paragraph break between them. So we have it divided into two parakim, but that doesn't seem to reflect with the original structure of the parak, the section, we'll call it. It really is. But there's still an internal structure. So we look at all this as one unit, but this is from Yitzhak Es Shalom, who is, was it the YU High School in Los Angeles? And he's got a couple of essays on Hallel. He points out there is a kind of internal structure, that most of this section is in twofold parallelism. Tet Yisrael Mitzrayim, Beit Yaakov Me'amloiz, Hayteh Yisrael Kodesho, Yisrael Mishotav, etc. But there are a couple of psukim that have three phrases. Lo lanu Hashem lo lanu, ki shimcha tevor, kein kavod, al chmasecha v'al mitzecha. Wonderful actress of what we call it. Thank you. I assume that marks kind of dividing points in the sections of the section of the hymn. So I'd say the structure of this whole section, again, kind of pull a sitter out to be following along, or assume you know it all by heart, which most of us do, works as, you know, we have this Hallelujah and then the twofold structure, and then as a sort of conclusion for the previous introduction to the next section, Lo Lanu Hashem Lo Lanu. Then we have this section that we always skip, except when we do half halal. And then there's another threefold pasuk halfway through where it says Yudehem lo yimishun, Raglehem lo yilchun, lo yu b'gronam. So I assume that's another division point. Then it ends with Yerushem b'tchub Hashem, Ezra b'yamhu, and then we go with Hashem zecharanu yivarech, which we know that's separate from the structure of it, because when we sing it, we just mutter Hashem zecharanu yivarech, and then we go into Yivarech, Epet Yisrael, etc. So that is another introduction to the next section. Then it ends with a Hallelujah as one section. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4 parts with these individual phrases separated. So I'm going to look at these pieces here. And we talked before about the nature of Hallel versus Hodah, that Hallel is praising Hashem, is focused on Hashem, Hodah is focused on us, of what happened to us and why we have to thank God. And so we have our Hallel. The tefillah of Hallel has the two parts. Starts out with a Hallel part, which is the Hallelujahs, and then the Hodah part, which is Hodu Hashem Ki Tov. That's the second part, which is that last, much longer parak. And so this section is going to talk about all how wonderful God is, without saying anything specific about what Hashem did, sort of, kind of. The details of what we're thanking Hashem for are in the second part, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, Kim Kasto, Yomar Yisrael Ki Yom Kasto. So we're going to start with the first section. It starts with Hallelujah, praise God, and what are we praising God for? It's Bitei Yisrael Mitzrayim. And while it says it, Bitei Yisrael Mitzrayim, it's not about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. There's nothing there about going out of Egypt. This section is all about the revelation of Hashem's power at Mamad Har Sinai. That we talked about in the introduction about Halav de Hashem, that Al Hashem Mayim Kibodo. And we're going to say, we're going to illustrate that by saying how Hashem controlled all of nature at Mamad Har Sinai. So B'tzei Yisrael Mitzrayim means after B'tzei Yisrael left Egypt, this is what happened. And they were leaving, this B'tzei Yisrael Mitzrayim left Egypt, Beit Yaakov Me'am Lo'ez, which means the land of the article puts it as an alien tongue, foreign language. That the Jews kind of were kept their specialists. We say that in the Haggadah, that Nisro Mitzrayim Sham. And we know the Medrash, that they kept their own language. Right? There was Egyptian language, that's fine. They lived there for 200 years. Everyone spoke Egyptian, but among themselves, they had their own language, presumably it was Hebrew. I don't know if they had an equivalent of Yiddish, you know, Egyptianish. But they were distinct. The famous comment that Bnei Yisrael kept their names, their language, and their clothing. That specific statement never appears. There are a whole bunch of different ones that talk about what made Bnei Yisrael distinct. And it's, I think it was the Chasam Sofer who kind of put them together and picked those three things, that distinct names, language, and clothing. But the version that's in the Midrash Tehillim on our Perek is as follows. I'm going to read Elazar Kapar, B'zchut Arba Devarim, Yetzu Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael. There were four things that Bnei Yisrael had that made them Zochet, that they warranted leaving Egypt. Shoshinat Shemam, they didn't change the names. Shoshinat Lishonam, they didn't change the language, which goes the idea that coming out of an Amloes, they considered Egyptian a foreign language. Lohi Uprutsim Ba'ariot, they didn't engage in immorality in the culture of Egypt. Logilu Misdorin, and they didn't reveal secrets. Not clear what that exactly means. But what we're looking at now is that the Lo Shinot Shemam, Lo Shinot Lashonam, they kept their names and they kept their language. So the side point, the question is that why do we have all these non-Jewish names? And no one complains about it. And we speak English just fine without having to say, I keep a specific language. If that was the chut for leaving Egypt, why don't we care about that now? And question was asked to Moshe Feinstein. His answer, basically, we'll see inside, is that they kept it because that's all they had. We have the Torah. That's what makes us distinct. So we don't have to worry about those other kind of cultural things anymore. This is the Igros Moshe's wording. Dine yesh makom lomar. And we could say, Dizesh shibchu chazal in Vayikra Rabba, Lamed Bet, Gilat Mitzrayim, that chazal praised the Jews. Shmotam, they didn't change their names. Ukodim l'matan Torah. That only applies before they got the Torah. Shaloya heker gadol b'shvil kiyum mitzvot b'Noach, because there was no other distinction between the Jews at the time and the other nations. They may have had the mitzvot b'nei Noach, but the Jews didn't keep that either. Refrash achelik adom Yisrael abdu gam kein avodah zara, because we know that the Jews were all worshiping avodah zlatim, worshiping avodah zara in Egypt. Ruben lo malo b'nehem, and what they had culturally was Brit Milah, but they didn't do that in Egypt either. On Tzimuch Ula until right before the Yitzhi Mitzrayim, when Hashem said, you got to do Brit Milah. Shalakim b'shvil ha'amuna she'igal of rotzu yishini karim, but they still had the faith that they would believe, that they still were going to be a distinct nation that eventually would go back to their ancestral homeland. Mishum That's where they kept their own unique names, and they had their own language to speak among them. But that's all they had that kept them distinct. That's why they were zoche. They were merited to leave because of that, because that said they still had faith. They weren't going to assimilate. About Achar Matan Torah Ein Lanu Chiyuv, but after the Torah is given, there's no chiyuv, there's no mitzvah of giving specifically Jewish names. It could be culturally appropriate, but you couldn't say it's an obligation. Same thing with the language as well. All we have is the Targum mitzvah, the mitzvah themselves. option mistabe arcane, and he immediately puts in a disclaimer here. Even though this makes sense, Mr. Fina Lomar, I'm afraid to actually say this, below Raya Gudalo, without better evidence for that. So I'd say yes, you should still give Hebrew names to your kids, distinctly Jewish names. But it's not a chiyuv there. Right? And so what they do, so the Bnei Yisrael in Egypt were Mitzuyanim, they were still their own people, and they consider themselves Beit Yaakov, as the text says, right, Beit Yaakov Ma'amoez, that they were still descendants of Yaakov. So they left. And at that point, the pasuk says, Haita Yehuda L'Kodesho, Yehuda became the Kodesh of Hashem, the Holy Part. The Yisrael Mamshel Tav, and Yisrael became his kingdom. And we still have this distinction between Yehuda and Yisrael, both of those names, which kind of means that this was, that line at least, was written well after Yetziat Mitzrayim. This distinction, the split between the Yisrael and Yehuda, becomes evident from the time of Shaul, when his army is described as being so many from Yisrael, so many from Yehuda. They clearly consider themselves separate nations. At that point, under David, we saw that he tried to keep things together, but things kind of still fell apart toward the end with the rebellion of Sheba Bichri. And then certainly under Shlomo and Shlomo's son Rehoboam is when the kingdom actually split. But this idea that there we had this Yehuda and Yisrael being separate sections, that's been there for a long time. And we've talked before about how when the kingdom actually split, Yehuda sort of took the Ben Adam Lamakom mitzvot. They had the Beit Mikdash, they didn't worship Avodah Zarah, they didn't build the golden calves. But Yisrael, the northern kingdom, had much more of the Ben Adam Lachavero. They were unified. They weren't saying Lashahara about each other. Chazal said that they were not Dil Tarim. They weren't informers in the northern kingdom. And if you look at Sefer Melachim, you see this distinction between Yisrael and Yehuda. But ideally, they should be together, but really they split up here. In B'nai Akiva terms, Yehuda was Torah Yisrael, Yisrael was Am Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael. So the split's tragic. But as long as they're together, we can say, yeah, you have the Yehuda idea being the Kodesh and the Yisrael idea being the Memshalah. That's what's being expressed in that pasuk there. Again, as long as they're complementing each other, then we're carrying the Shekhinah. Then we're united as the, called the Merkava. So we're witnessing the power of Hashem. And what happened? Hayam Ra'av Ayanos, Yarden Tisa of Liachar. And those are the two events that really bookend Mamad Har Sinai. Beforehand, Yam Suf splits. At the end, when they go into Eretz Yisrael, the Jordan splits. Now, those are supposed to be right next to each other. The fact that it took 40 years to get from Mamad Har Sinai to the splitting of Jordan was not the original plan. But still, those are the, you know, God controls all of nature, and we saw that. And then the middle of that is Mamad Har Sinai, when the earth itself shook, which is the Harim Rakduk Ve'elim. The mountains danced like sheep, the hills like lambs. Everything was moving. And that's not about giving the Torah, it's just the actual event of Mamad Har Sinai, the revelation of the power of Hashem, Ruach Hashem. And that idea that Mamad Har Sinai is expressed in the shaking of the earth comes up over and over again at Tanakh. The original story, you have here, verse 5, Har Sinai, Ashan Kulo, Mifnei Asher Yerad Alav Hashem Be'esh, that the mountain was on fire, Vayal Ashanoke Eshna Kivshan, and the smoke went up like a furnace, Vayacharad Kola Ar Ma'od, and the whole mountain was quaking, was shaking. Or in Shirat Devorah, Shem B'Tzeitcha Me'Seir B'Tzeitcha Me'Sdei Adom, when you came out of Seir, which was in the south, in the Mamad Har Sinai, Eretz Rasha, the land quaked, Gam Shamayim Natafu, the skies dripped, Gam Avim Natfu Mayim, the clouds dripped water, Harim Nazlu B'Tzei Hashem, the mountains melted. Zeh Sinai. This was what happened to Sinai, B'nei Hashem Elkei Yisrael. Or Habakkuk. Again, looking at the revelation of God. Akami Temanyavo, God came out of the south. Again, talking about Tarsina, south of Eretz Israel. Kadosh Meha Paran Sela. Paran is the name for Seir. Kisa Shamayim Hodo, Tiltom La Aretz. His glory filled, the, covered the skies. Praise filled the earth. Amavi Medad Aretz. Ra'av V'yeter Gagim. Shem was there. Just the measure of the land and of all the nations. He puts a suhari ad, the mountains quaked. Same model. Shachu givot alam, till the eternal hills were themselves destroyed. Alichot alam lo. The ways of God are eternal. Ucha yachil harim, Hashem saw, that rather, the mountains saw and quaked. Again, malacha, harim tukuchay elim. Same model, same idea. The Ramayam Avar, they flowed with water. Natan Tahom Kolo, the deeps made noise. Yedehu Nasa raised their hands. So that's the model of Mamre Har Sinai. That's what we're looking at. Hashem reveals his power at Mamre Har Sinai. And then we ask the mountains, Malachai and the sea, Malachai Yam Kitanos, what are you doing? And the answer is, L'snei Adon Chuli Aretz, from before the Lord. And how do we translate Chuli Aretz? It's ambiguous. Usually translated chuli as in shaking, or as we quote here, rahu yachil harim, the mountains saw and quaked, and it could be an apostrophe, a direct address. Before God, tremble, O earth, or it's chuli, first person. Before God, I, the earth, trembled. The sex, though, says chuli is from the language of mecholel, to give birth to, like birth pangs. The thing Adon Chuli Aretz means before the master who created the world. This sense that Hashem both created the world and controls it. And the most solid things in the world, the mountains themselves, those are shaking before the power of God. And we end that section. Okay, God's great, God's powerful. Basically, not even talking about greatness here. It hasn't saved anybody, hasn't done anything. God just has the power to control the world. And ends with Hahokli Tzura Gamayim, Chalamishtha Mayim. God turns the rock into water. And that's also an image from Mam and Har Sinai, because that's the first thing that happens at Har Sinai. The incident where Moshe hits the rock the first time, not the second time when he gets punished for it. But Hashem tells him, the people are complaining about water, and Hashem tells them, go hit the rock and water will come out. That's at Har Chorev. That's at Sinai. That's verse 9. You know, Omez Fanech Hashem Atzur, B'Chorev, Hashem saying, I'm going to be before you on the rock at Chorev. You need to go there. Yikita Batzur, you'll hit the rock. V'yatsu Mimena Mayim B'Shteah, and the water will come out. V'yas came Moshe, the name of Israel. Moshe did that. The water came out of the mountain of Hashem. So that's physically, that's the only part where we're actually physically helping B'nai Israel. That's Hashem's power manifest in saving as opposed to simply being all powerful and impressing everybody with a special effect. There's also a lot of symbolism with the water coming out of the mountain. Because that's constantly throughout the Tanakh ends up being the symbol for the Acharit Hayamim, when the water in Mayim El Torah, that the word of Hashem will flow out of Har Hashem from the Har Abayit. Hashem will turn that rock of Har Abayit into water. And that's, Yeshaya says that, there will be a shoot from the root of Yeshay, Yetzer Mishor Shav Yifreh, and a remnant from his roots will blossom. That's the Mashiach ben David. Lo yiru v'yashchiti b'chol har kadshi, and there will be no evil, no destruction on my holy mountain. Ki mala arz de'at Hashem, that the world be full of knowledge of God. Kamayim layam machzim, the way the water covers the seas. That's that. De'at Hashem is the water there. And Zachariah v'yaba mahu yetsu mayim chayim b'shalem. The living water will come out of Yerushalayim. Chas yamal yam kami v'chas yamal yam acharon. Half will go west, half will go east. The chayas v'chorach yeh will be there. Summer, winter, even the dry season. Water will always be flowing out of Yerushalayim. That's the Acharit Hayamim. And the water will actually flow out of the Torah. That's hopefully a Torah. is both what happened at Mount Sinai and what will happen in the future. That in the future, the mountains will drip honey. I think is why they translate that. And the hills will flow with milk. And all the springs and Yehuda will be pouring forth water. There'll be a spring from the house of God, and will feed the rivers coming out of the bayit.
Danny.
Yeah.
That word asis is a company that makes juice in Israel.
Okay, so I think it's translated as honey there, or some kind of honey. So asis means that's a good brand for juices. So the mountains will be dripping
the sweetness. Yeah.
Right, sweetness. Okay. But again, the key thing there is this image of the Chalamisha Manyomayim, that the water is flowing out. Originally, again, it's literal from the sense of what happens at Har Chorev, becoming symbolic of the word of Hashem spreading to the whole world. And then it ends, and again, I'm reading this with Lo Lanu Hashem Lo Lanu as being the separator between the sections. The psukim applies to the next one, but I think it's also the end here, that this Hashem gave us water out of Chorev, literally, but it was Lo Lanu, not for us. And I did say it's an anaphora. That's another one of those good words, which when you repeat the words again, right? Lo Lanu Hashem Lo Lanu. It's not about us. None of this was for our sake. Mamar Sinai was for Hashem's sake, to declare the glory of God. And we're there just to look and to be the witnesses of it. We said in the beginning of Mi Hashem Okina Makbil HaShevet, that's the whole point of Halal, is that we are declaring Hashem's greatness to the entire world. We were there to see it. And I think at this point I'm going to stop here because we have to go to the Epstein Early Childhood Dedication. So everyone's welcome to go to that.
Thank you.
I think I'm working next week. I'd figure whether next week we'll do this. We'll go through the rest of this section of Halal.
Good. Sounds great.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank
you, Danny. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.